Proverbs chapter 5. We've been given, as we've been going chapter by chapter through Proverbs, a mental image of righteousness. And we see it now as a straight and level road. It's a road that's not necessarily easy, but in the end, it leads to eternal life with Christ. It's a road of righteousness that one must follow if they are to be considered a disciple of Jesus Christ. We've also been given this image of temptation. These temptations lying beside the roadside, calling out to those who are passing by, urging them to turn away, telling them that they know a better way. They speak to our flesh. They attract us. But we do know that every other road leads to death and to destruction. But we also know that temptation doesn't just come through our ears. It most certainly does, and we will see that as well, but it comes through the eyes, the alluring sense of the nostrils, the touch. We cannot just simply plug our ears and think that we're going to not have any temptations, for temptation comes in many types. Today, she is called the forbidden or foreign woman. We will look at this passage in two different ways. We'll see at first the surface level of the passage, and then we're going to look at the spiritual level of the passage. My prayer is that the Lord will place conviction in our hearts. Grant to us the strength to overcome these lures of life. Can you follow along with me? Proverbs 5. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. Will you pray with me? Father, we humbly approach your word at this time. We know that these are your words, words that you wrote through the hands of Solomon, eternal, powerful words. So God, I pray that our hearts are respectful as we listen. Will you give us minds that can concentrate? Will you give us hearts that can receive? Lord, I pray that you will do the work in us that only you can do. Father, may we be faithful to your text. And may you teach us and convict us and strengthen us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon again starts the chapter as he has every chapter, passionately calling out for his sons their need to wake up and pay attention to wisdom, to pay attention to understanding. It's so important not to wait to pay attention, to wake up. Because just around the corner waits the forbidden woman. If we're not prepared today for temptation, we will most certainly fall tomorrow. Temptation is not defeated in the moment. Temptation is defeated by the preparation that we take now. If we wait until we come face to face with the woman described in Proverbs 5, it's far too late. The word forbidden woman here literally means stranger. We see that this is, on the surface level, the temptation of adultery. But it's going to go deeper than that, we're going to see. It's the temptation to give your affections, the affections of your heart, to anything outside of the covenant. You see, God established a covenant with the nation of Israel, one that Solomon lived under, that God in his love and his mercy chose Israel and bound himself to them. Even going as far as he does today, describing himself as Israel's husband. And in that covenant, he commanded the nation of Israel not to marry with the nations around them. And the reason behind that was that these nations were pagan. They were not in a covenant, not in a relationship with the only true God. They were servers of foreign false deities. And so God knew that if they united in marriage, if they bound themselves in a covenant with an idolater or an idolatress, that this would bring great trouble and great sin into their nation. And it happened many, many times, including Solomon, the one who wrote this. As king, he married many foreign women. And this was a cultural thing. They did that in order to make peace with other countries. But this was his great downfall. Years after Solomon, Nehemiah would lead in the building of Jerusalem once again after it had been destroyed. They'd been taken captive. They'd been released. They built their temple, and now Nehemiah is in charge, and they're building the walls. And it says in Nehemiah that while he was away, that the men saw the women that lived around them. They saw these women outside the borders of Israel, outside the covenant of God, and they burned with lust for them, and they began to again intermarry with foreign nations. You have to realize much of why they were disciplined by God was because of this very thing, and now they're doing it again. Listen to Nehemiah's response. This is in chapter 13 of Nehemiah, starting in verse 23. It says, "In those days also I saw the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and they could not speak the language of Judah, but only the language of each people. And I confronted them, and cursed them, and beat some of them, and pulled out their hair. And I made them take an oath in the name of God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons or for yourselves.' Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin on account of such women? Among many nations, there was no king like him, and he was beloved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, foreign women made him, even him, to sin. Shall we then listen to you and do all this great evil and act treacherously against our God by marrying foreign women?" maybe Nehemiah shouldn't have physically reacted the way he did, but you see the passion in Nehemiah for purity of God's people. And he knew that this intermarrying and what it would lead to. Solomon, in all of his wisdom that God granted him, still fell under the seduction of the foreign woman. Thus, we have to sit here and admit this morning, if Solomon can, we can too. For this woman's lips are sweeter than honey, it says, and her words are smoother than oil. And this beautiful woman catches our eye, and the pull toward her can be so great. We have a promise in Scripture that God will always make a way of escape in every temptation. But there are times, and maybe you've thought this, the way of escape seems impossible. The pull of temptation is far too great. Because we see her beauty, and we hear her flattery. We smell her fragrance, and she's just right there off the righteous road. And we can easily step off the road of righteousness and begin to walk with her instead. Look what it says, though, in verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Notice her path. It is not the path of life. It's the path, it says, of Sheol, which is the place of the dead. She, it says even here, has no idea the path of life. She has no idea what righteousness is. She's completely ignorant of life. Last week, we were told in Proverbs 4:26 that we are to ponder the path of our feet. And here it says in verse 6, she does not. She does not ponder the path of life. And for those who are swayed by her beauty and her alluring, will walk right with her into death. She wants you to join her. Notice that. It's not that she passes by and it's all us looking at her and going, well, I want to go with her. She's calling for you. She's calling for you. But if we do go with this woman, it says that the name of the Lord will be disgraced. And we will betray the wife of our youth. We sink into dishonor. We groan under this canopy of shame and guilt. And we suffer the terrible discipline of God. Men, a great sign of wisdom in you is faithfulness to your wife. To be satisfied in her alone. To have self-control of your eyes, that they may not wander. Think about Solomon, his own parents, David and Bathsheba. Solomon knew the destruction of adultery. He knew the awful reality growing up in a home that started in adultery. This has tempted every married person. Sex has tempted every human being. And we read it this, or Dave read it this morning. God saw to it to even include adultery in their Ten Commandments. God created us with desires. He has created us with these needs. We have many needs as a human being. Needs for relationships, needs for food, needs for water, needs for sex, needs for rest. The list goes on. But we also need to realize that God, creating us that way, has also given us in Him the meeting of those needs. Psalm 23, we call God our good shepherd. And we say in there, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. That all my needs are met in Christ, met in Him. He leads us beside the still waters and green pastures. He baptizes us into a church, fulfilling that great need for family and relationship and closeness. He has blessed us with a Sabbath to help us with the rest and rejoicing. And He created marriage. Now, there are many reasons for marriage, but one is to meet the needs that He has instilled in us. One man, one woman, until death do they part. And their minds and their hearts and their bodies are solely for one another. You can look through verses 15 through 19, and what Solomon is saying here in a very poetic way is the command to keep your spouse for yourself. To find joy in them, satisfaction in them, to be only united to them. Even singles are to remain sexually pure before the Lord. Listen, there is never a time that God allows us to hold hands with the foreign woman. Never. Pornography is so prevalent nowadays, so available. And it says in Proverbs 4:16 and Romans 1:32 that the world is going to teach you that you should look at it. They promote it. They condone it. They push it. But Jesus has told us that even lust is the breaking of the Ten Commandments. And that even lusting over a woman is adultery of the heart. You see, we don't even have to know the foreign woman's name in order to join her on her path. The surface level of Proverbs chapter 5 warns us against adultery, warns us of sexual immorality and evil that way. In your notes, point number one, the temptation of adultery is to give your heart's affection to somebody outside the covenant of marriage. You see, it doesn't even have to be a physical union. To give your heart's affections to somebody outside the covenant of marriage could just simply be emotional. It doesn't have to even go physical to be an adulterous relationship. God enacted a covenant with Israel and commanded them not to marry foreign women. For he knew that marrying outside of a covenant was dangerous and would lead to death. Marital faithfulness is a result of godly wisdom. But this chapter is not just for men. This chapter is not just for married couples. This has necessary teaching for anybody who has chosen to follow Jesus. Anybody who desires to walk the path of righteousness. I pray that's all, every one of us. This chapter is for us. Remember, the forbidden woman, or this adulteress as she's called, is literally a stranger. Somebody outside the covenant of God. This is a warning to everybody that there are many things in life attempting to steal your affections that are outside that relationship with God. People try to steal that from God. Money tries to steal that from God. Recreation can steal that from God. Jobs try to steal that from God. Education can try to steal that from God. The list goes on and on. Israel constantly was led away to join the nations around them. Have you ever read the Old Testament and the stories of Israel and just got super frustrated with Israel? Thought, why can't these ding-dongs get it together? And then God tells you, you're a ding-dong. They never stopped believing that their God existed. Okay, can we get that right? Israel never stopped believing that their God existed. What they would do was add to their belief system. They would add in the Baals. So Baals plus their God, the Asherah poles. They would add that to their religious ways. See, I don't think the question is, if I went around this room and I said, do you believe in Jesus, I believe every one of you would say absolutely. But I think that's a wrong question. The question should be, do you believe in Jesus alone? Only him. Is your heart fully immersed in Christ alone? No other God, no additions. You see, that's more difficult. We can all say we believe in Jesus, but there are many people who say Jesus plus. God commanded Israel's relationship to, or compared Israel's relationship to him as a man and wife, just like he does with the church. And listen to his strong words. He speaks to the nation of Israel, and they're in captivity at the time. And he talks about their unfaithfulness to him, to not worship him alone, to not love him alone as their husband. Ezekiel chapter 16, it's a fairly lengthy passage, but I hope you pay attention. It says, "And after all your wickedness, woe, woe to you, declares the Lord God. You built yourself a vaulted chamber and made yourself a lofty place in every square. At the head of every street, you built your lofty place and made your beauty an abomination, offering yourself to any passerby and multiplying your whoring. You also played the whore with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, multiplying your whoring to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I stretched out my hand against you and diminished your allotted portion and delivered you to the greed of your enemies, the daughters of the Philistines, who were ashamed of your lewd behavior. You played the whore also with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. Yet, yes, you played the whore with them, and still you are not satisfied. You multiplied your whoring also with the trading land of Chaldea, and even with this you were not satisfied. How sick is your heart, declares the Lord God, because you did all these things, the deeds of a brazen prostitute, building your vaulted chamber at the head of every street and making your lofty place in every square, yet you were not like a prostitute, because you scorn payment. Adulterous wife who receives strangers instead of her husband. Men give gifts to all prostitutes, but you gave your gifts to all your lovers, bribing them to come to you from every side with your whorings. So you were different from other women in your whorings. No one solicited you to play the whore, and you gave payment, while no payment was given to you. Therefore, you were different." Those are strong words. But he says, listen, I've seen you. I've seen that you've approached these other nations. You lusted after these other nations. You wanted their women. You wanted their gods. You wanted their riches. And he kept saying it over and over, but even in that, you were not satisfied. So you moved from Egypt to Assyria, from Assyria to Chaldea. And yet, you were not satisfied. When we count the cost of being Christ's disciple, we must realize that we are to forsake all sinful passions. We are to run away from every foreign god. If you desire to enjoy the vast blessings found in Christ, and I'm going to assume you do, we all want to enjoy the great blessings found in Christ, and we want to be found enduring unto eternal life, it means this: we have to only love Jesus with all of our heart. We only give Jesus all of our heart. He is the only God we serve. He is the only one we worship. Remember this back in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, writing to the church, it said, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you'll have tribulation," but he says, "Be faithful. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be faithful. It seems ever since we went through Matthew several years ago, all my studies and all my readings, I keep going back to this one verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. That reads, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." What's the promise? "For they will be satisfied." Satisfied. Righteousness found only in Jesus, that road that we are called to walk on. If we are walking along that road, it promises you that you will be satisfied completely for all of eternity. Every meal you eat only satisfies you until the next meal. Or maybe before, if you're growing boys. We constantly need water, don't we? Even after being rested, taking a full day of rest, it seems not long, we're tired again. Our bodies are aching again. Sex doesn't satisfy. We just want it again. We need to realize that in Jesus, we find wholeness and absolute complete gratification. Do you believe that? And in Jesus, you can find gratification and completeness. That even if you are starving, even if you are thirsty, even if you're tired, even if you're abstinent, it doesn't affect your soul. It doesn't affect it. It doesn't affect if you are satisfied or not, because you are satisfied in God. And when we enter His glory and see His face, we're going to know satisfaction like we've never known even existed. We're not going to miss sex in heaven. We're not. We're going to be so satisfied in Christ. For it is Christ that finishes us. Christ that fulfills us spiritually. Point number two, the spiritual level of Proverbs 5. This chapter is a warning to everybody that there are many things attempting to steal the affections of your heart. Oh, I pray that we will wake up and we will see things for what they are. That we will know temptation when it comes. That we will know the difference between godly things and ungodly things. We are to love Jesus with all of our heart. The satisfaction that we crave can only be found in the righteousness of God. We've been told, not hinted around, it's not a mystery, it's not a puzzle we have to figure out. We have been told how to find absolute satisfaction in life. We've been told. The only thing is do you believe it? Do you believe that it's only found in righteousness, right doing, good things, godly things? For it is Christ, it says in your notes, alone that fulfills us spiritually. We know that temptation and sin is behind every door waiting for you, waiting for me. So when the foreign woman beckons us and our flesh has that momentary craving for her, which it does, what do we do? What do we do? I'm going to put Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8. It's in our passage today, but I want you to read it and read it again. This is what we're supposed to do. Keep your way far from her. Do not even go near her door. I'm pretty sure what he's telling us to do is social distance from her. I think that's what that means. Keep far from her. Don't even go near her door. Don't go where you're tempted. Listen, you know the temptations that make you stumble. Some of us share the same one. Some of them are different. Some you struggle with and I don't, or I do and you don't. There are temptations that we know that we stumble easily. So Solomon is saying, don't go there. Don't go to those areas that make you weak. Stay away from the places that you know temptation is going to be great. Don't set yourself up for failure. If pornography is the issue, it's absolute foolishness to roam the internet by yourself. If adultery is the issue, it's absolute foolishness to have any sort of contact with that man or woman. If it's drunkenness, it's foolishness to even walk into the brewery or the bar. You see what I'm saying? It says that all of our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. That's how Solomon ends this chapter, verse 21. That all of our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. We may be able to fool the church. We may be able to fool our husband or our wife. We may be able to fool ourselves, but we will never, ever get away with spiritual adultery or idolatry. We'll never will. The Lord, our husband, knows. He always knows. But listen, our faithfulness to the Lord, our love for our husband, it's not due to fear as if he's abusive. Our faithfulness is due because he is the one who forgives us fully, who loves us with all of his heart, unconditionally. He meets every need that we have. He sacrifices himself for us. And he will care for us for all of eternity. So whatever we are seeking instead of Jesus for satisfaction, know this. Know it from Solomon, who lived it. He's telling you, it doesn't work. Solomon had all the women he could have ever wanted, and he still comes back and says, it doesn't work. He has all the money anyone could have ever wanted, richest man in the world at that time, and it didn't work. He had servants to do all of his cleaning for him. It didn't work. None of that brought satisfaction. The only satisfaction Solomon ever found was in the Lord. All of these other roads lead to frustration. They'll lead to disappointment. Consequently, it says they will end in death. I pray that each one of us will put our trust in Christ as he beckons us and he calls us and he draws us near. And unlike the foreign woman who flatters us, who tempts us with our flesh, Jesus calls us in grace and truth. And that in this new covenant that we have with Christ, he is forever faithful to us. We are called in wisdom to be faithful to him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you for your kindness to us. Each one of us were idolaters. Each one of us were adulterers, adulteresses. Lord, we've been lost in darkness, blind to truth, if you hadn't revealed it to us. Lord, we couldn't stop sinning. But I thank you for Jesus, who pulls us out by the power of his blood. And that our sins can be forgiven. Oh Lord, may we walk in your power. May we walk in your strength. May we hate those things that pull us and allure us. May we love only Christ. We thank you for this covenant that you've given us. That you have signed your name in blood, saying, I am yours and you are mine, and I will never forsake you. So, Lord, convince us, shape our minds that we will not forsake wisdom, that we may stay on this road with glad hearts, knowing that you are at the end, this glory awaiting for us, where temptation can't live, sin no longer exists. Oh, Lord, we do long for that. We ask for Jesus to come, rescue us, take us home. In Jesus' name, amen.